Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Rebecca Fenwick. I will call our meeting to order. This is the September 28th, 2022 Stark Preservation Commission Subcommittee Meeting where we discuss general issues. And we are waiting on one, but we have a quorum, so we will get started. First things first, we need a motion to adopt today's agenda.
Robin Williams, I make a motion we adopt the agenda.
Darren Bagley Heath, I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Anyone had a chance to look at the minutes from last meeting? If so, I'll take a motion.
Darren Bagley Heath, I motion to adopt the meetings from the August meeting.
I second that. Robin Williams.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Okay. So I will propose, since I think May is probably en route, that we swap 3 and 4 on the agenda and talk about 4 first. Which that the first thing, good. Looks like we both have some homework to report. I'll let staff start.
Honestly, this is notes from the 7/22 meeting, which is the last time we talked about that. So this was notes and questions from that. And then the other attachments are what May sent earlier today. And then this is obviously more to do with May too, so I'm not real sure.
Well, we did discuss inquiring about putting things into utility bill.
Yeah, we haven't been able to get anywhere.
Okay, so they won't respond to you?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, we'll keep trying. Okay. We do want to do the illustrated design standards manual, but we're gonna put it into our 2023 work program.
Great.
Because it's not in our 2022 work program, so technically we've still been doing little things on it here and there because we've been wanting to do it for years anyway.
So that would cover what areas?
Well, the good thing is we could write it in a way that it would cover all the ordinances because it wouldn't be specific to the downtown ordinance like the old design manual was. It would be more like illustrative guide. So it would show a window and its components and what a muntin is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of thing. So that wouldn't be specific to downtown. Is that what you mean by cover what areas?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then if it's written in, it'll be budgeted for and staff will complete it. Is that right?
Right. I think it's going to take longer than a year.
Sure.
So we'll probably put it in as 2023 and 2024.
But you won't need a CLG grant or anything to do it.
Well, I'm going to put down that because basically the way it works, and Pam, can you help me with explaining how city budget works? But we give them a list of things that we need money for, which I think that's coming up soon, their budgeting time.
We've already submitted the budget for 2023 and we're waiting for approval. So, okay. Yeah.
But in our work, you know, our work programs aren't necessarily like we don't give them our work program necessarily. It doesn't necessarily say
overarching like, budget number
right,
or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
Okay. So that'll be put in. We usually give the work programs to Melanie and Pam like by the end, by like the fourth quarter this year.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'll probably write in that we'll try to apply for a CLG grant, but my point was that if the budget's already in for the city and we don't have something in there that says we're gonna apply for a grant and ask for 40% from you, then we probably won't be able to do it. We'll do it regardless is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's.
But we do regularly collect images and sketches and things like that as I'm like, ooh, that's a good example of a, you know, whatever, and I'll stick the picture in a folder. And Jamie has been working on illustrating the boundaries and like the river street factors walk section of the sign ordinance. because it's really hard to understand. If you're, you know, if it's not something you do regularly, like where's, you know, Factors Walk Area A for the sign ordinance? Where's Factors Walk Area B? Where's the blah, blah, blah?
How do I calculate my facade?
Yes, exactly.
Is this that or the other?
We work on little items like that here and there as it is, and we'll start, you know, putting that together. And I think that document obviously is a much longer term project, but will be really helpful. Sorry, excuse me. Will be really helpful from a public education standpoint. But that's a much bigger overarching thing.
Well, I, if you recall, had planned to meet with Doug and Matt from the city of Atlanta. Doug used to oversee the Historic Preservation Department and actually got, they call it something else, but basically that was the department. And now he's gotten a promotion and Matt has taken his place, but they both still met with me. And I learned a good bit about, you know, I posed the question to them, like when these it's seen as a burden, you know, local historic district improvements, filing a COA, et cetera, in a low income community, you know, what's the city of Atlanta doing? And basically it's really interesting up there. They must just be spend a ton of time managing this, but they have 23 local historic districts and like almost all of them have different
Atlanta
catered.
Really?
They have catered ordinances.
Oh.
So, and I, you know, I'm sure there's a good bit of similarity between some of them, but for example, the Ponce Highland Historic District has no window review. So, you know, they listen, they try to listen to the communities. You know, they have this MPU system, right? Which is like a neighborhood planned unit, structure where the neighborhood organizations have essentially more power. They just have a stronger voice and they really lean on them for input on things. So I think that's really how it comes to be. And they're like, we want there to be more local districts. And for that reason, we're willing to make some compromises, basically, is what I heard from them. And I did have one additional thought about something we could do. And, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Atlanta stuff too, but we, you know, we could, in the way that our bylaws are written, have more things go to staff level review, and that might assist with the sentiment issue, right? There's this just like general frustration that we're witnessing in folks. You know, so like obviously like demolitions, new construction, always going to come to us. But if like an addition on a building is less than 500 square feet or something, like do we need to see it? You know, maybe it's new construction demo and everything, every addition over 500 square feet, but do we need to see anything else at this level? You know, just topic for conversation.
And are you talking about even within like Victorian district or?
We could cater it. I mean, I'm open.
Right. So, because as it stands, the downtown district has one set of rules. Most of the other districts that have design review have like Victorian, Kyler Brownville, I guess streetcar are all on a consistent set. No? Okay. And then we have Arts Park, Chatham Crescent Parkside, our conservation district, and Gordon and which? Carver Village. So we have at least, you know, we have our own sort of variability as well.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, they are, then they are different. But I would gander, we have a lot more similarity between them than Atlanta does in theirs, but.
How many districts in Savannah? Oh, I thought that was like a common knowledge. How many districts in Savannah?
You just named them all. So we have downtown and we have Kyler Brownville, Victorian, streetcar, and then the conservation districts, which are all the same, are Ardsley, Parkside, Ardmore, and Carver Village.
So not an east side district?
No.
So what about?
National Register District.
Yeah, we have 23 National Register. Does that sound right? Oh, I must be counting the county.
Oh, you're counting county. Okay.
My brain, I don't know. Right. It doesn't separate.
Chatham County.
Excellent, like Kensington Park and Magnolia Park.
Magnolia is not anything right now.
Kensington and
Fairway Oaks.
National Register districts.
Yes, we have many nationals that aren't locals. Many.
Oh, right, and that's something that is there. You're talking about local districts, not National Register districts.
This group governs, right? So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think if that, so your idea is what could we do to sort of lessen the perceived burden of being a district by setting criteria for. It's the computer behind us.
Gonna blow up.
Is there a tape recording going like in the old days? We used to have tape recorders in here and we'd have to run over and change it.
You need keys to get out of this room? Oh.
Hopefully it's not Geiger counter.
It's warning that it's end of battery life.
Oh.
Leaving it?
Yeah, just shut the door.
While we're waiting, I would just like to share an honor that one of our members received yesterday. Miss May Boley is the official Woman in Construction of the Year, according to the Coastal Georgia chapter of the National Association of Women in Construction.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Very honored.
Well deserved.
Is that a, like, is there a separate group for women in construction nationally from, and how old is that kind of organization? Is it relatively recent?
I think it's pretty old. I don't know if it's 50 years, but. Yeah. We have a Coastal Georgia chapter.
I was wondering if there's regional, local or regional chapters.
Of course, we don't have anybody outside of like Richmond Hill or Bluffton, but no.
The Savannah River.
St. Simons doesn't have a chapter. Brunswick doesn't have a chapter.
Also, Rebecca Ethos got an honorable mention for business. Was it Business of the Year?
Yes, it was.
It was. It was.
Oh. Congratulations all around.
Thank
you. While we're bragging.
Thank you. Well, I guess the beeping has stopped. You wanted to finish your thought, or if we have any other thoughts.
I think so. Your suggestion is how can we lessen the perceived burden of becoming, like, if there's pushback against becoming a district or passing design review laws or whatever. Compromise and say, okay, well, certain things.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
It seems like more one-on-one connection with these folks about what the ordinance is, how to, you know, navigate it would prove beneficial. And maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a discussion, you know, about like, well, is this gonna, maybe that's not a good idea because this is gonna actually burden staff, or, you know, what, be good to have a dialogue about it. But it would seem like, you know, this is a very formal and sometimes onerous, especially if we're making someone come back a month later, that instead of that, there's the opposite being the one-on-one, get through staff level review and get your COA sooner if it goes well.
And there's a cost associated with it as well, folks, because
the cost is the same.
Well, I'm talking about the cost. So if you come back in front of the the panel three or four times.
Your mortgage payment monthly or whatever.
It's not your mortgage payment. You've got the cost of your, you know, everybody going back and coming back again and presenting and spending another 3 hours waiting for their case to be heard. The bills to the homeowner get rather pricey rather quickly.
Do you have thoughts, Leah?
Yeah, the public would love that. Because that's the most, besides how do I apply for a COA, the most common question is, can it pay a staff level review?
Yeah.
So, because of the time associated with, you know, coming to the board. So,
what about staffing and?
We review every single project anyway.
Yeah.
It honestly wouldn't change. It'd be less prep for the meetings. So, I think long term, it would mean shorter meetings. It would mean less meeting prep for, you know, shorter meetings for you, less meeting prep for us. Those are my thoughts.
Of the bylaws, do I have that correct?
That's correct, which is just done by you all.
Mm-hmm. But the wider HPC?
Sorry, yes, the HPC, the whole HPC, two-thirds have to vote in favor to change bylaws. But my point is, it doesn't have to go to city council, or it doesn't have to be an ordinance amendment, or anything like that.
I would just say whatever the criteria are, sort of like the sign ordinance or the paint color in the HDBR. I think paint colors are generally treated like a staff level review. And there was at least one incidence when the building on Broughton at Barnard or Jefferson was being painted with the electric blue and peach colors. It's an Art Deco building, and it didn't come to the HDBR. And I remember it might have been Leah at the time, Ellen at the time saying, you know, it's a paint color. And I remember thinking, well, that's not a simple paint color change. That was a pretty substantial. And so I'm wondering if there could be language that, at the discretion of staff, they can look at something that if it's a staff level review and then you look at it and you go, ooh, this is a complicated one.
It does say that.
There is language that
it says that
at the discretion of staff, they can, even if it's a staff level review, they can put it to the board. Okay, so
and we do that often. Like, for example, the fence, the church fence, the chain link fence, fences are staff level review. But that one we brought to you all, for example.
Great.
So I didn't could be to if you can send around the link to the bylaws, and then we just look at how it's written currently, and then
you could do that one. Okay. Bree's gonna send it to the three, one, how many of you are on the subcommittee now? One, two, three, four of you.
And also they also the staff level approved stuff comes on our agenda anyway, so we can add that at the meeting level to ask for it to be put onto an agenda at some point.
No, that's just an acknowledgement that you have read them. That's not, you all aren't approving them. It's already done. Okay. It's done. Yep. You're just acknowledging that you've seen them on there. Because in the past, and we started even doing that, because in the past there was a staff reviewed item on there that the board, you know, didn't read the attachments, and there was, when it was built, there was a lot of like, we never approved that kind of thing. It's like, well, it was a staff level review. Well, we never saw it on the agenda. Well, here it was on the agenda. So now we make you acknowledge that you've read all the staff reviews to know what staff has approved. So, but no, once it's been approved, it's been approved at that level.
Well, I think until we've had a chance to like read what we have currently and maybe just digest this a little bit, then it'll be good to talk about more specific language. So that'll be action item one for our homework. Everyone take notes today. Okay. It's not going to be a follow-up email. Darren.
Yes, ma'am. I have my book with me this time.
Okay, great.
I got notes.
Okay, very good. Okay, so if it's all right, yes. So before next meeting, this group is going to review the current HPC bylaws and consider what changes we might make.
I think that's a really good idea anyway, because you all have made a couple of tweaks to them since you were formed, but frankly, they were written by staff before you existed because you all had to have bylaws to exist. So they were written by us based on the HDBR ones. So, and at that time, we did add more items to staff review than are typical for HDBR at that time. Like, you all don't review signs, you don't review fences. Color has nothing to do with it. That's a state law. You don't review color. But yeah, please look away. And as far as different ordinances, I don't like the word stringent or restrictive, but the one with the least amount of standards is Kyler Brownville. For example, in that district, you can use PVC windows, and you can't use PVC windows in any other district, for example.
And the cladding?
No.
Oh. Solid new PVC. Construction.
New construction, yes. Yeah, no, all districts are wood only for historic buildings. Just as an example, in Kyler Brownville, you can have chain link fences. You can't have chain link in any other district, for example. Well, streetcar you can at the rear property line if there's not a lane. It's very nuanced. This is why I read it for you all.
I mean, it is tiered.
It is. That's the point I was making, is it's tiered. Yeah. But you all are, of course, can change it more.
Shall we jump to,
Sorry, I just wanted to make sure. So you are reviewing the entire set of bylaws, not just in regard to staff versus board.
Well, if you don't mind, when you send it, to let us know the specific section to find.
But I want to make sure. So you want the whole thing, or do you want the ones just in regard to staff?
It's really short, honestly. Okay, it's so only like 9 pages or something.
So. Okay, the whole thing.
The whole bylaws.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you would tell them which page the staff review part is on. Maybe it's 13 pages and it's like page 11 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt to be able to see it as a whole too.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe let's...
Do you want me to add that as a public education strategy? Because that's, I guess, kind of what it is. I guess it's not public education, right?
Yeah.
Is that more falling under what we
used to call alternative strategy?
Okay.
I mean, I am open to any discourse about more directly related public education strategies if there's anything anyone wants to discuss today.
So if we go back to that.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, May did have those attachments as well.
Oh, I'm looking at the number 2 item, and I wasn't here for the July meeting, so I couldn't speak to it. But
can you lean closer to your mic? Sorry, I can't hear you.
The July meeting, the new owner packet, how to get to new owners. I could set up a staff member with a alert of every house that sells in downtown in 31401, and you can just get an email. Yeah,
that's a good idea. Are you part of the board of realtors?
I'm on the board of directors of the MLS.
Okay.
So yeah. I get updates daily. I can just put a drip feed, so every time a place closes, it will just send you somebody an email.
There we go. Problem solved. And we can mail one of these packets.
You want an email every time a property closes in a district?
Well, yeah. I mean,
how else are you going to do it?
That's right? Gonna be a lot of emails to your inbox.
Yeah, I know, but it says, new owner packet. How do we get them to the new owners?
I know. I'm just thinking about like a monthly update or something. I mean, I just am worried about your inbox.
Well, you can set up a filter so it'll automatically reroute emails from a certain address into a folder.
Well, we have if we have the preservation questions email address, we could use that one. That's not. No, it's Caitlin. No, it's Caitlin's. No, I'm just kidding. No, it goes to both of ours, but it's a separate account, like you said.
Send me the email and I'll set it up, and then each one that closes will just...
But do we know what we're sending?
Yeah, what I will do is I'll send it. You know, I don't think I'll put condos in there. I can probably put townhomes and...
But I mean, what happens after you get this list? Then we turn around and...
Well, they've got to send out a new packet to every
which we have to create stuff.
Right. That was my point.
Yeah.
But at least they then have an idea of what is closed over a period of time.
Yeah.
And there's ways to do it through the.
No, that's good. I mean, yeah, there's no point in discussing the packet unless we know how we're going to disseminate it. But
I mean, I could do it and I can go back and look over the last year what closed.
I don't know about that.
I could do it. I could do it on a monthly basis and just go, here's what's closed over the last month and just send it to you that way. I mean, there's a number of ways, but once you've got a packet, it would probably be better if you've got a.
Yes.
A feed. So it's like, here's one that's closed yesterday. Okay, well then let's get the packet out. So they've got it in their hands right away before they start doing ungodly sins to the new property.
Or, and let me ask Bree, does it make more sense if it goes to the historic at thempc.org? Because then once we have a packet, you just have, you know, stacks of these and you get one from them and you put it in the mail. Like we already have them and you just literally put it in the mail. Let's do that. Tara, did you already send it?
No.
Okay. Do the historic email address instead.
All right, good.
Okay, so
we don't have a packet yet. We will work on it.
Okay, all right. So staff homework.
Staff homework.
Staff will draft welcome staff packet. I mean, I think that would be like district specific, if possible, right? I mean, like here's the Kyler Brownville boundary. Here's the Victorian boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the direct link to the district page.
Yeah. And the good thing is and this is what I did, like when I did the present, when I do presentations to the realtors and, you know, that kind of stuff, I'll give them like this page literally. And it's like, here's the boundary map and here's the links and, you know, here's the supplement and here's the this.
Something I find a little bit, I think about, it doesn't bother me because I know what I'm looking for, but someone that might be new, when you click on application, it takes you to the top of the page that has all of the applications for all of the districts.
Mm-hmm.
And I often think to myself that that would be confusing if I didn't know that I was not in the Historic District Board Review area and I needed to scroll down. I might just assume.
Yeah, Julie's not in here. She's the IT person.
It'd just be like
that.
A website adjustment, but
yeah, I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Maybe if at the top of the page there were just
maps,
hyperlinks, like rather than just scrolling down immediately being in that you actually had the districts listed across
hang on,
the top.
Hang on, let's. Well, but this isn't just This isn't just districts. This is all of the MPC's commission.
You could also take that map that's on the other page and make one boundary for HPC as like everything, you know, and then the other boundary for HDBR, and then that's like a separate two-color map that goes with that page.
We'll consider recommendations and talk to Melanie about it and see, because we are in the process of updating the website, so that may be something we can consider at that time. We are always trying to make it better and easier.
Yeah. Yep. Sure. Yep.
And I know I have I'm trying to remember where it is, but there is a page that has not this whole thing. Anybody remember where it is?
Page that has not this whole thing?
Yeah, it doesn't. It has the HPC map versus the HGBR map. Yeah. That's what it is. Yep. Yeah. So there's a much better location for that, clearly. But on the applications, for example, you're right. It is on the supplement. So HGBR, no, it's not. Yeah. Yeah, it's clearly in a very recognizable location. So, yes, very easy to find. I will.
We'll look at changing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let me write that down.
Okay. Do we want to talk about deconstruction next?
I had a question about the street signs while we're on that.
Sure. Shoot.
But I'm just waiting for it to come back up.
Oh.
Oh, didn't know you wanted it back up. See.
Just the agenda, yeah, there. So the second bullet point, different colored sign above street signs. Now, Baldwin Park does have black signs sitting, these quaint little diminutive historic district signs that they, and the question, how did they get those? That was the neighborhood association paid for them. And I believe they just, I don't know if they worked with the city or they just installed them in the dead of night. But what I've been long lobbying for is not sign toppers like those, but rather replacing the existing green ones with brown ones, like in New York or Charleston.
Well, that's funny because I wrote these off of the things that you said at this July.
No, different colored sign is not above, and I said in the same sense as not above, but it's not above Baldwin Park. That's the problem with that is they're small, they're hard to read. And if you look at the ones in New York or Charleston, and what's above on the ones in New York is you have the brown street sign, and then as a little ribbon either above or below, it actually identifies the district. So if you go to, if you were to pull up a Soho street sign, you know, Soho cast iron district street sign in New York City, you'd see it's brown. It has the name of the district on the sign as a kind, that is a, might be a separate topper, but, and it makes me wonder, could, if the city's didn't have the budget for painting new metal signs in brown, is there a brown decal that could be affixed on top of the existing signs, or are there, what kind of options are?
I think that's a question for your mayor and alderman.
Right.
Yeah.
But that would be the, I honestly
think, through us.
If the moment you move away from green signs to that they are the legitimate legal signs, but they're now brown, it, and you do every sign in the district, that, because that's what they do in other cities, is when you're in the district, the street signs are way reinforcing that. So that was, that's what.
Yeah, I understand. I just have no idea how, other than you calling your alderman a lot, that
right,
something
so,
like that would even.
So a CLG grant, you were thinking.
Would that be, that would be for design and installation.
Right. So if the city were saying, well, we don't have a budget for this, but we'd be, we'd support it. So if there was an outside grant, that might be a way to do it.
Well, they would still have to pay 40%.
Well, ironically, they started replacing all the street signs.
I know, with these green ones
with the square, but they haven't got to a lot of them in the Victorian district.
So
they could.
It's kind of a missed opportunity that they're already replacing signs and putting the.
It was probably in the budget 20 years ago, and they're
slowly catching up.
Yeah.
Well, for my homework, I can contact. There are a couple of aldermen who I've already been on meeting with about this, like Linda Browett. Wilder Bryant was and I worked together pre-pandemic on a committee about this topic. So I'd be happy to follow up and see what I can find out, and also reach out to those other cities to see how they funded it. So can't guarantee by next meeting, but I'll work on, that'll be my homework.
Can you put down Robin's homework?
Yes.
All right.
I'll work on that. I'll find out more. But in principle, just no point doing it if everyone thinks it's a bad idea. But can everyone visualize what I'm talking about? Have you seen?
I get the idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they haven't. So, okay. So there are plenty of other cities around that are doing it.
Yeah.
And okay, good. I will happily pursue that.
Right. The ones in Jacksonville are really clear. They're like brown. They have a little logo icon that's specific for historic districts. Like, you cannot be unclear when you're in a district.
Cool. Field trip.
Not today.
Yeah, right.
No need to go into the head of the storm.
Yeah, I was going to say the road might be completely clear for your ex. Don't try to come home. Okay. Anything else on public education.
Did you want to look at the, there's like 10 minutes left. Did you want to look at the attachments you sent? Do you want to save those for next time? You want to go to deconstruction?
Yeah.
Just want me to orient you on what I've done? I think I sent them all to you.
Which one do you want me to open?
Yeah, you can open the first one. That was just, this is just me taking the ones that exist and literally just trying to write a fresh one that introduces the idea of deconstruction. So this is like super rough, super raw. Love your thoughts on it. Please read through. Are we missing anything? Is this the right tone? Is this the right approach? So yeah, just if you guys don't mind, homework for next time, give that a review.
I love the demolition is the practice of crushing and landfilling buildings.
Listen, this is partially why I need you guys, because it is almost impossible for me to not be hyperbolic when I'm talking about deconstruction versus demolition. But also, I struggle to find a way to phrase that. How do you say politely that they're crushing the building? I can't think of another word. So if you can, please share. And you want to go back to the agenda? So I've also done, I took the in-kind repair one, and I just did some track changes. The age thing, that's clunky because that's, you know, that should be like an and or situation that, you know, you can't always find that.
I actually just sent a an email just before the meeting. I was going through this and specifically about the age thing. So if you could scroll up.
Yeah.
Because you have this new or salvaged historic material, then to include age as a,
right,
that matches age, but you can't be new and age.
Exactly. So it's got to be an and or.
Recommending that we, I think there are two instances here and later, or maybe in the next paragraph, where age could be put at the end and say, and.
Or when possible.
Ideally, age. You know, yeah. So that.
Yeah. I'll read yours too.
Yeah, I sent it as an email, but I only did it there, but it could apply in a couple of other spots. But I think in the first instance, up above near the top of the page, I think it's fine leaving age where it is. Although for consistency, you might want always put it at the end. But I think it needs to be qualified anytime you have new in the same paragraph.
Yeah. And, you know, we can accomplish a lot of things just by switching to an and slash or, but I don't know if you want to keep it that vague. So, yeah,
we'll take a look at this one for next time and come up with a cohesive one that you all can.
One of the.
Comment on.
Yeah. And instead of just and or, I think the idea is to nudge them towards historic materials. Mm-hmm. So I would say rather than just and or saying and ideally.
Yeah.
Age.
I agree.
So it implies there's latitude, but
yeah,
hopefully nudges them in the right direction.
That would be ideal. Yeah. Great. So that's pretty basic. Also, the windows, same thing. There were just some obvious areas where we could tweak the language just a little bit. So here I've done. And when possible, age. Mm-hmm. You can see that one. And then maybe scroll down. I think there's a little bit more. I was wondering if we could add a line because we have this list of approved and they're all new. Can we indicate that also approved are quality, reclaimed, historic? Mm.
So, and this is me playing devil's advocate. Of course, that makes absolute sense. How does that conflict with the Secretary of the Interior standards about using salvaged materials and creating a false sense of historical development?
Well, SOI standards have the same problem as these standards, which is what we talk about, my groups, at a federal level, is amending SOI standards to include language that's a little bit more up to date.
Right.
Well, of course, that hasn't happened yet.
And I feel like in general, just like very generally speaking, that if your reclaimed item isn't catching your eye or calling specific attention, like if it's not ornate, you know, and fits with a period, then that is something approvable.
Okay.
It's when you're bringing something
like that
from another historic place to your historic place that,
as a
like, for the point of eye catching, right? Yeah. Like, you want to do a reclaimed wall in your front foyer, like, that's not going to fly because, it's like, where did this wood come from? This is confusing to the layman kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, we had that door last month, that reclaimed door. With the little Gothic details, remember? And that was out of character for the.
And I have now since seen that door 1,000 times in this city, and it is a Colonial Revival 1930s American small house door.
So it would have been appropriate.
No.
Because in the 1925 house?
It was 1925 house?
It was a streetcar. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
Two story side hall. Yeah.
Arguably, yes. But also, like, where I have seen them is a one, like, one story.
Oh,
so it's like in
one story.
Gordonston, gotcha. And.
Oh, that's different.
More suburban-y, you know.
Well, and it sort of gets into, I know you have the concern about Secretary of Interior standards and false sense of history, but if you're saying to a homeowner, okay, they had vinyl windows and you replace it in kind with modern materials that replicate the historic light pattern and divided light.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, we've got these salvage windows, which yeah. are actually.
And I was more deal. Playing, I was more playing devil's advocate as how do we, mm-hmm. you know, because I think it's, a, you know.
And it will come up. But yeah. I always indicate that the Secretary of Interior standards, so I'm glad you brought this up because I can actually talk about this a bit.
Yay.
The SOI standards use the same language around in kind that we see. So it is vague, you know, they do leave this out. And I also like to point out that when the SOI standards were written, deconstruction and reuse was very common to the point that it didn't even need to be called out. You know, demolition as we know it, it was a relatively newfangled thing on the market. So obviously that has radically changed since the standards were written, but they state a preference for in-kind where possible, and they state a preference for historic in-kind where possible. And they don't address where it comes from. They don't address what happens to buildings when they're going to get lost and all this.
So my point was that probably a little bit more specific would be the right way instead of just historic salvage windows. It's historic salvage windows that match the material configuration, yes. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, okay. Let's get as specific okay. as we need to be, I think, to prevent people from feeling like this a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if I just get an old one, it doesn't matter what it looks like.
Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, it's a 16 light diamond pattern right. that was on a house that's 200 years difference in age. And
yeah. Right.
Okay. Cool.
And
sounds
then
like
I,
we're on the same page.
Yeah. And then I tried to do the same thing for the sustainability one, but I actually couldn't find any good place to fit. Of all the ones, I thought the sustainability one would be the most low-hanging fruit, but I didn't actually find a reasonable place in the document to insert anything about decon, so I just left
it
out.
Do you all want to look at it over the next month and see if you have any ideas? I'll add that as action item number two.
What's that, sustainability?
We have a sustainability brochure as well. These are all brochures she cut and pasted from our brochures.
Yeah.
So there's also, sounds like you know where it is, May, if you want to go
ahead
and just send it.
I'll tell you right now.
Well, no, I mean, I know where it is on the website, but I mean, if you want to just send it instead of sending.
Were we going to, wasn't there, I remember at one of our previous meetings, we were going to talk about, I think among the word, there were different things in the ordinance where words needed unpacking and clarifying, and wasn't move buildings or relocating one of those things we were going to also look at?
That's a are we going to move on to that one,
or is that another item?
That's a different item. Oh. That I'm not sure we're going to get to.
Well, yeah, because that was number
here,
so we're going to moving to number three.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the sustainability one if you all want to
sure
figure a way to put in deconstruction in there.
I put that on the, I will recap our homework list, but that's okay. On the list now. I mean, yeah, I would love just, if we could just, even if it's a quick summary about agenda item number three.
Okay.
And then also, if you had any, I don't know if there are any, but stucco updates. With the other,
so yeah. It, the MPC meeting is canceled this week.
Okay.
So it's going to be on the October, whatever day the next MPC meeting is, October 11th, October 11th is when it's going to be on there for.
Doesn't it go straight from this group to council?
No, we presented it to the main.
Okay.
You all voted on it as a whole. Doesn't it go? No, all text amendments have to go through MPC.
Okay.
Yeah, they are the body for text amendments. Okay. So it's going to be on the next MPC agenda for a recommendation to city council.
Okay.
So it is moving forward.
October.
Just great. The storm's delaying it a little bit. So I haven't written the staff report yet, but I think I might support it. I might. I'll let you know what I think. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so review the sustainability brochure. And then real quickly, I did create the draft deconstruction ordinance amendments. So this is 3.18.8. And it really says exactly what you all had said. It's just in the whole formal form that would have to go to MPC. So adding deconstruction everywhere in 3.18.8. Adding that section, you know, in the case of relocation, deconstruction, or demolition. And then deconstruction or demolition due to immediate threat. So that's 3.18.8. And then 7.8 for downtown district. This is in here, obviously, because we have to do it in that one as well. This will go through HDBR. So adding 3.18.8 in there. And then Victorian, adding 3.18.8. Same thing for Kyler. Same thing for streetcar. And then going into defined terms, this is probably the only part that you all want to take another gander at. Deconstruction definition, demolition definition.
Is
hang on one sec.
I think it was here that we
Yep, hang on one sec. And relocation definition. We do not talk about moved buildings anywhere in the ordinance. I went through and checked. Relocation is the term throughout the zoning ordinance, but it was not defined. So this is what I was proposing, is to add definition.
So this is a draft text.
Yes, this is for you all to
look at. Okay, so we can give that.
Yes, please.
Will you be sending us this?
It's attached to this agenda.
Okay, perfect.
So, yep. So that link that I sent you, you know, the link you get from us, it's attached.
So should that, I forget what number it is, 7.18 or 3.18, whatever the number you just said, should it not also be incorporated in the conservation district, since one of the things they're regulated is demolition?
It could, but right now it's not in there at all.
Well, you're proposing to add it to the others. So I was just wondering, would it not also go into the
Feel free to look at it. There was not a spot to add.
Okay.
Feel free to take a look at it. This is my first, staff's first, based on what May provided and.
So what you're saying is there is a place to add it to these other districts, but there isn't a place, you can't have a clause added to the other
districts. You can. I just couldn't find a good place to do it.
Oh.
So if you all want to take a look at it, which is 7.15.
If you could include that in whatever we see.
Okay. Let me write that down. You know what I'll do too, actually, instead of the link, I'll send you all the working file, the Word file, because I can't upload Word files to this system because it gets all wonky. So I'll send you the Word file for this, and I will add the conservation Word file to it.
We're getting close to end of meeting time, and I'm happy to recap our homework list, but I will maybe make a call for any final thoughts.
Thank you for this, Leah. It looks great.
we're close. But yeah, if you all take a look at the conservation one and figure out a good way to, I just could not figure out a way to incorporate it, that made sense without it literally looking like we were trying to shoehorn something in oddly. But yes, please take a look. I will add it. And so instead of using the link, I'll send you the Word files so that you can track changes again and do it that way instead of
Perfect. Like
drawing on it or something.
Perfect.
I ended up with more homework than, oh no, you guys got three. I got three. So.
Pens handy. Okay. This is what I've got. We're going to review the bylaws, and Bree is kindly going to send us the link and denote page number for staff review language, and we will consider how we might alter it. Staff will draft a welcome packet, and Darren will look into how to email those new sold properties to inform staff. Staff's also going to consider our website changes that we've suggested.
I write that down.
Robin is going to do a little bit of digging into some street sign options and funding and who do we talk to at the city, et cetera. We are going to review the handouts so wonderfully put together by May. So that's the deconstruction and salvage, in-kind repair and replacement, and sustainability.
And windows.
The sustainability one is not linked to the agenda, so.
It's not, but I did just email it out to everybody.
Oh,
it's great. Really just a copy and paste Word doc. I didn't make any changes.
Okay. It's in your inbox. And we are going to look at the final draft of the, well, we'll just for now call it final draft of the demolition ordinance that's already been compiled with in a Word doc format emailed to us by Leah. And also consider separately 7.15, which is the conservation district ordinance and where we could include deconstruction in that. Did I forget anything?
That was a productive hour.
I will not be emailing you with this information.
So write it down. And then
can I get a motion for adjournment?
Robin Williams, I make a motion. We adjourn.
May Bowley second.
Thank you. Meeting.